Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So I say like the psalmist David, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, that I may not doubt you or second guess you. No, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And so I give you praise and thanksgiving for the demonstration of your word, manifestation of your word, and the impartation that comes from your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, I receive. Amen, amen, amen. All right, open your Bibles with me to, where are we going? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Your Bible should fall open there. I've been in this teaching that I've entitled Having Faith That Gives Birth to an Abounding Lifestyle. Having faith that gives birth to an abounding lifestyle. Now, if you were not with me this past Thursday night, you need to listen to that teaching more than once. Now, that teaching Thursday night, to me, is revolutionary. And it will really bring you to a place of mature Christianity. It also will help you to establish spiritual discipline. But you have to attend to it by making yourself available. Now, that's one thing I've always wanted to do. Well, I shouldn't say always. I had to grow up. But I always wanted to access and tap into what God was making available to me. I did not want to miss my moment. There was something I heard from Kenneth Copeland many, many years ago. He said this. He asked, we were in the Believers Convention, and he asked everyone there, he says, have y'all ever been at that place where you leave church early, then people say, oh, you shouldn't have left. Oh, right after you left, something happened. And then and if you didn't show up, then they say, oh, you missed it. You should have been there. And he said that would rub him the wrong way. He got tired of missing, watch this, missing God moments. Okay. So he positioned himself. So when I heard that, I said, man, that sounds like the story of my life. I've been missing things and missing opportunities and missing favorable moments. So I said, God, I want to be at the right place at the right time. I want to know what you want to do, and I want to be there so you can do it. I want to be right involved. I was like that when I played high school ball and college ball. When I started, I was part of the starting five playing ball. And when coach would bring me to the bench to get some rest, I didn't like sitting on the bench. I wanted to get out there. I wanted to get in the game. And I remember before we moved to Buffalo, before my uncle called me and asked me to come to New York to preach for 2 weeks, I remember 3 to 4 months before that call, I asked the Lord, I said, let me in the game. Let me in, Lord. I want to be a part of what you're doing right now. Let me in the game. Lord, I'll do whatever is necessary. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just want to be a part of what you're doing today. And 3 months later, my uncle, Bishop Roberson, calls me and said, Mark, how you doing? Here's the thing about it. He had never called me before in my life. That was my first time speaking to him on the phone. And he calls me and says, I want you to come. I thought it was a joke. Wait a minute. Because he says, I got a plane ticket for you. he had never given me anything in my life at that moment. But I had prayed, Lord, let me in the game. I want to be a part of what you're doing. And I did not know that that prayer, as simple as it was the catalyst to birth Faith Word Fellowship International and Faith Word Fellowship Canada. Can you give God some praise? So you have to understand what these teachings are all about. Because if you're not careful, you're just looking for a good message, a good sermon. I know Pastor Mark gonna give me some good word. He's not gonna give me no false stuff. But that's not it. It's about your moment. Don't miss your moment. See, I'm not living your life. And there's a reason why God has connected you to me. And so you don't want to miss your moment. What are you saying to me? Let me in the game. Let me in, Father. I want to be part of what you're doing right now. And a lot of times, many of you get these rebroadcast emails and you treat it like any other email. You just let it build up in your inbox. It doesn't mean anything to you. And what you don't realize is there goes another moment. There goes another moment. There goes another moment. Because you never connected that as a key that God was giving you for your life. Okay. I don't know who that was for. But somebody needed to hear that. Just keep looking straight. Won't nobody know I'm talking about you. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fit, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Notice this description. My faith is not just growing any kind of way. My faith groweth or grows exceedingly. So if my faith is growing exceedingly, I should see more in my life. Would you all agree?
Yes.
Yeah. I should have access to more for my life. I should win in life at a rate and at a measure I have never won before. If I'm still losing, experiencing defeat like I did prior to what God is revealing, then it's not God's word failing me. It's not God letting this happen to me to teach me something. It's me ignoring what God is revealing to change how I'm living. All right? That your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So if my faith is growing exceedingly, then my faith is going to cause an abundance or an abounding ability that I've never been able to access before. So that's why we're talking about having faith that gives birth to an abounding lifestyle. Because I want you to get to the place. I was praying this to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me reach the people and cause them to understand that they have to adopt an abounding perspective for their lives. That you don't look at your life from a place of deficit or loss or struggle or hard to get by, hard to make it. No, no, no. You understand that you have this abounding perspective. Okay, go with me in your Bibles now to our second launching pad scripture, which is Acts 19 and 20. Acts 19 and 20, real quick. Because I want to build on what we talked about this past Thursday. And I want to build on that because I want to bring you to a place of momentum that no devilish thought, devilish feeling, devilish circumstance can impede. All right? Acts 19 and 20 says, so mightily, say mightily, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the Word of God has this abounding ability. The Word of God has this prevailing ability. Now listen to me. If the Word has this abounding ability, then you can't accept loss. You can't accept deficit. You can't accept losing. Somebody texted me earlier this morning, and they said it like this. It was similar to my quote, and they basically were saying that if it looks like I'm losing, it's not over yet. And so I responded with my quote: if it looks like I'm losing, it's only halftime, because He always causes me to triumph. Amen. Amen. So that's an abounding perspective. I'm not going to lose. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says He always gives me the victory. Now I got to ask you this question. What does always look like? What does always mean to you? Always means every time. Everyone say every time. So this is the reason why we're teaching this, because right now many Christians are being challenged with what's going on in the world, what's going on in their personal lives. There are some whose finances have been challenged, whose health has been challenged, whose marriage has been challenged, whose family has been challenged. One thing that the pandemic has done is it has exposed people's hearts. See, all of this civil unrest, political unrest, it just exposed people's heart. And see, watch this. And a lot of things that have been going on, for example, in the civil setting, the social setting, like you're hearing about police brutality and what have you, a lot of that was always going on. The only difference now is this: it's being caught on camera. And now you're being exposed to it, but it has always been there. You just didn't know about it. So why is God allowing all of these things to come to the surface and become visible? We're coming closer to the return of Jesus, but He wants the hearts of His people right. And you have to understand, you got to protect your heart. You got to protect your faith. And you do that by not exposing your hearing to every voice out there. Not exposing your eyes to every video out there, because that will contaminate your faith. And I know a lot of us think we're so smart and we're so wise and we can handle anything we see. All right, you keep on. And your faith and your ability to believe God won't be where you think it is, all because of what you've exposed yourself to. Amen. All right, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So I pointed this out, and it bears repeating today, that if the word of God grew, and in Acts 19, it was talking about in the area, in the region. If the word of God grew in the region, it's because the word of God grew in the hearts of the people. The word of God will not have a regional impact until it has a personal impact. And so you have to understand, you got to allow the teaching of the word of God that you're hearing to affect you. It has to impact you. It has to influence you. How do I know if the word of God is growing in me, Pastor Mark? How do I know? I'm glad you asked. Here's the answer. It is one word: transformation. Transformation. It should transform how you think. It should transform how you're speaking. It should transform how you process information. It should transform your behavior, how you carry yourself, what you expect from yourself, what you expect to happen to yourself. Transformation. If you still talk the same way, think the same way, respond the same way, then you, my brother and my sister, have not been transformed by the word of God. You've had a religious experience, but you have not had a revelational experience to cause transformation. And so you won't have an abounding lifestyle. You'll be the one who tell people you go to church, but they can't see the church in you. You'll be the one who will sing Zion songs, sing praise and worship songs, but your life is not a lifestyle of praise and worship. because praise is an expression of your faith. You'll be the one who will talk about scriptures in the Bible, but you won't live scriptures that are in the Bible. You got to be transformed. All right? And then, so it brings us to Romans chapter 10. Go there, go there, go there. Romans chapter 10. And then I'm going to drive right to Acts 14, which is where I wanted to go this past Thursday night. Romans chapter 10, very familiar verse in verse 17. And it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read that with me. Say it out loud. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's do it again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So for the child of God, you have to understand that God wants you to discipline yourself to hear his word. Hear his word spoken. Hear his word taught. Hear his word declared. So it's to be spoken by you, declared by you, praise the Lord. But you need to also submit to the teaching of the word, and that's why we have it on the website. That's why I'm making the rebroadcast so available, because right now, you know, in this pandemic and all that's going on, all of this is unprecedented. Would you all agree? Yeah, it hasn't happened before. It's unprecedented. Well, that means that now we got to do some things unprecedented. We got to go over and beyond the call of duty. You got to make yourself available to the word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how I am. I don't listen to everybody. I know there are a lot of teachers. There are a lot of preachers. There are a lot of ministries, but I don't hear everybody. Here's the reason why. Everybody should be and may be speaking from the assignment God has given them. But not everyone's assignment is supposed to impact you in the season you're in. And if you're not careful, you'll be hearing a word out of season. And so it can be a good word, but for where God wants to develop you and what he has begun in you, you need the right word that will stimulate growth. And so, like, for example, I have several spiritual mentors, but I don't listen to all of them in every season. I have their teachings on my iPod, but I don't listen to them in every season, because in every season, I have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God at the revelation he wants to use in my life and in my heart that will stimulate growth. It will, watch this, develop prevailing ability. And now when things happen in my life, I'm able to prevail. Are you listening to me? Rather than become defeated by what's happening in life. And if you're experiencing defeat, if you're experiencing stagnation, if you feel stuck, or if you feel like you're marking time and walking in mud and cement and you're stuck in life and, oh man, my life is humdrum, boring. It could be you're not listening to the right word, or you're not applying the word that you are hearing. Are you listening to me? Okay. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith cometh. Faith cometh. And so the thing that you have to understand, I'm going to inject this now. You got to understand the importance of living by faith. The importance of living by faith. Why is living by faith important? Well, you know, Hebrews 11 to 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So living by faith is important because it pleases God. It pleases God. Now, I'm going to go through several scriptures real fast. So I pray that you have brought your Bible page turning finger with you today so that we can go through this, all right? Why is living by faith important? I want to look at this before I jump to Acts 14 today. Go with me to Matthew 9, verse 29. Real quick, Matthew 9, verse 29. Living by faith is important because, as Matthew 9, 29 says, watch this. Jesus praying for the two blind men, he said in verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. So living by faith is important because where my faith is determines how my life will be. Amen. Where my faith is will determine how my life will be. Your life is not where it is because of somebody else doing something. Your life is where it is because of your level and measure of faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. So when Jesus told these two blind men, according to your faith, be it unto you, it was not up to God what happened to them. It was up to them what were they capable of believing. All right, go with me to Matthew chapter 8 now. Flip one page, Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 13. Why is living by faith important? Matthew 8, verse 13. Glory to God. Jesus praying for the centurion's servant. And the centurion told him that you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Why is living by faith important? Because as you believe, or what you believe, it will be done in your life. Right now, you are the product of what you've been believing about your life. No, Pastor Mark, no, because if so-and-so wouldn't have hurt me like they did, then I wouldn't be here. Well, evidently, at one time, you believed so-and-so needed to be in your life. If you didn't believe that, they wouldn't have been in your life and they wouldn't have caused that hurt. But it was your believing that kept them in the wrong place. Jesus. See, so as you have believed, it will be done unto you. That's good or bad. If you believe in something bad happening, then your believing now will cause that thing to take place. And then you'll be the one who says, see there, I told you it was going to happen. Yes, you really did. You really did. You believe that. Why is living by faith important? Look at Matthew 9 now. Matthew 9, verse 22. Jesus praying for the woman with the issue of blood. You know what she did? She went and touched his garment. Look at verse 22. But Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Everyone say this. Since her faith made her whole, my faith has the same capability to make me whole. Why is living by faith important? Because my wholeness is attached to my faith. My wholeness is attached to my faith. Your faith will make you what you believe. There's something that I speak and declare over my life and my ministry. For example, here's one of my declarations that I say. I say, my teaching and my preaching is getting better and better and better and better. That 12 months from now, my teaching and my preaching will be far better than they are right now. See, I constantly speak that over my life. I speak how I'm growing. That I am in a better place physically, mentally, and emotionally than I've ever been in before. I speak that over my life. So I constantly declare that. And as you constantly declare that, you become what your faith is releasing or declaring. All right? Let's look at one more. One more. Go with me now to Mark chapter 10. And then we'll go to Acts 14. Mark chapter 10. I'm just showing you the importance of living by faith. So as we talk about this, having faith that gives birth to an abounding lifestyle, you got to understand we're not talking about being religious. We're not talking about having some church experience. No, man, we're talking about your life. Amen. We're talking about changing some things. And you're looking at a person, man, who was at one time in my life, I was defeat going somewhere to happen. But it's, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's because of the word of God. I am the man I am today. I'm the husband I am today. I am the father I am today. I'm the grandfather I am today. I am the preacher I am today. Because it's the word of God. I applied myself. Here's the thing about it. My mother didn't teach me how to apply the word because she didn't know. My father didn't teach me how to apply the word. He didn't know. My grandmother did not teach me, and she was the spiritual matriarch of the family. She didn't teach because she did not know. They were believing God the best way they knew how. And God told me, if you allow me, I'm going to show you how to walk in the things of God and act on my word at a level and a measure your parents and forefathers did not know. Do you want to go? And I had to cooperate. So a lot of things that I teach you all, my ancestors did not do. They did not apply that. They did not know about doing that. And I shared with you because that's what changed and transformed my life. The sad part about it is, when you're listening to a transforming testimony, you have to be very careful that you don't just celebrate it without embracing it. Because if you celebrate it, you'll sit there and say, that was for him, but it's not for me. And so if a financial, a multi-millionaire, successful financial investor walked in here and he just started sharing some things, it's your choice whether or not you're going to believe him and start applying it. Because if it worked for him, and he's letting you know it'll work for you, he can't make you. And that's the challenge with teaching and preaching. Because some people will sit there and say, but Pastor Mark, you don't know my situation. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I have to deal with. All that person is simply saying is that they do not really know the power of God. Okay, Acts, I read Matthew 10, right? Mark 10, did I read that? Mark 10, okay, look at Mark 10, verse 52. Blind man comes to Jesus, asks him, and this was blind Bartimaeus. Jesus asked him in verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? If Jesus walked in here today, or if Jesus himself posed that question to you today, what do you really want me to do? What do you really want me to do for you? Come on. Let's stop for a moment. Let's leave the church setting and let's just really look at your life. So you got pen and paper right there, and even everybody on Zoom, I want you to answer this. I want you to write it down. Jesus is asking you this question. What would you have me to do for you today? What would be your answer? I want you to write it down. Come on, write it down real quick. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? What do you want Jesus to do for you today? Today. Just like he posed this question to blind Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? So now, what would you want Jesus to do for you today? If he was here, he's posing this question to you. How would you answer that question? How would you answer that question? I want y'all to answer it. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? All right? When you finish answering that question, lift your hands up so I can know that you've already done. How many have already answered it? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Okay. 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 Now, here's something I never want you to forget. What you've answered, that's dear to you. That's why you put it there. Mm-hmm. And there's no fault in that. Here's another thing I want you to see. Don't limit Jesus with your answer. Don't limit him. See, like blind Bartimaeus says, look at verse 51, the B part. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And we all praised Jesus for bringing a man's sight. But here's something else you got to understand. When blind Bartimaeus asked Jesus to heal him, his income left. Because he was begging as a blind man. But he didn't ask Jesus. Not only do I want my sight, I need a way to make it. I need a source of income. See? So now that's going to come another a prayer request because his life has been changed by his healing. So I want you to understand, don't limit Jesus. Don't limit Jesus. What you wrote down, he wants to answer, but now look back at your answer, and I want you to see it. Is it limited? Is it limited? Because if you get that, let me help you. Let's say I didn't have a car, and I'm sitting in your seat. Man of God says, here's a question Jesus is asking you. What will you that I do for you today? And I'm answering, and I said, well, Lord, I like a car. How many of y'all know that's a good answer for a person who does not have a car? But here's the other thing that answer opens up in my life now. I got to be able to pay car insurance. I got to be able to have some gasoline money. Are you following me? Because if not, then just get in the car doesn't answer those other two questions that have come up. So I have to make sure that I'm not limiting Jesus. He wants to cover me in everything. Are y'all understanding me now? Okay. All right, let's go to Acts. So he said in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So why is living by faith important? And this is what I want you to see. Because my faith has the ability to bring wholeness into my life. Help me get to the cross. I don't want y'all to touch them. Just point to somebody and say, behold, 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 behold. And the Bible says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. All right, let's go to Acts 14 real quick. Acts 14. Praise the Lord. Uh-oh. Pastor Sheridan, give me that look. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. I'm out of time, y'all. All right. Okay. We will have to read. This front row says I'm over time. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in closing, we can't go to Acts 14. I got to end this. I just simply want to remind you of this. Learn to contend for the faith that you say you have. Learn to contend for the faith that you say you have. Real quick, I'm going around the room. This is how I'm ending. Teresa, give me your definition of the word contend. The pastor, you put me on the spot, you caught me. Teddy, give me your definition of the word contend. A high level competition. Cindy, give me your definition of the word contend.
Stand strong.
Stand strong for. Cheryl, give me your definition of the word contend. I'll come back. Sister Adrian, give me your definition of the word contend.
Fight for.
That's my definition. She said fight for, fight for. Rashawn, give me your definition of the word contend.
Sister Adrian
took your answer. She does things like that. I know, man. Kathy, give me your definition of the word contend.
Don't let go.
Don't let go. All right. Sean, give me your definition of the word contend. Fight for what you believe in. Mother Carmen, give me your definition of the word contend.
Live it out.
Live it out. Mario, give me your definition of the word contend.
To remain strong.
To remain strong. Pastor Cheryl says, to maintain. So, if you're contending for the faith that you have, that means that you're also not going to give in to anything that is coming against that faith. That, Teddy said, high level competition. The higher you go, the stronger the competition becomes. He used the word competition. The Bible uses this phrase, faith fight. Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Fight for what you say you believe God for. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this. This word today. Father, my purpose is just to encourage your people to not only contend for your faith, but understand that you've given them the authority to believe for results. You've given them the ability to carry those results, and you've given them the access to those results. My prayer is that you'll transform your people in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everyone say this. Repeat this. Say, Lord,
I give you permission
to transform me. Say it again. Lord,
I give you permission
to transform me.
Yes.
That's it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.